The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus came home with his disciples. Again, the crowd gathered, making it impossible for them even to eat. When his relatives heard of this, they set out to seize him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." The scribes who had come from Jerusalem said, "He is possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons he drives out demons." Summoning them, he began to speak to them in parables. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. That is the end of him. But no one can enter a strong man's house to plunder his property unless he first ties up the strong man. Then he can plunder the house. Amen, I say to you, all sins and all blasphemies that people utter will be forgiven them. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an everlasting sin. For they had said, "He has an unclean spirit." His mother and his brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent word to him and called him. A crowd seated around him told him, "Your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside asking for you." But he said to them in reply, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking around at those seated in the circle, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, everyone. So in the gospel we just heard, Christ says, if a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And he says this in reference to Satan and his kingdom. It tells us that the devil himself understands the importance of unity. And if the devil understands its importance, then how much will he try to destroy unity in the church and in families and society? And so there's a story I'd like to share with you. So there's a minister who ran into an old guy from his old church named Bill that he hadn't seen in a while, moved away or something. And the minister asked this guy named Bill, "How are things going at church?" "Not well," Bill says. "Why? What happened?" "Well," Bill continues, "a difference of opinion arose in the church. Some of us couldn't accept the final decision, and so we established a church of our own." "Is that where you worship now?" asked the minister. "No," answered Bill. "We found that there, too, the people were not faithful, and so a small group of us began meeting in a rented hall at night." "Has that proven satisfactory?" asked the minister. "No, I can't say that it has," Bill responded. "Satan was active even in that fellowship, so my wife and I withdrew and began to worship on Sunday at home by ourselves." "Oh, so then at last you found inner peace?" asked the minister. No, I'm afraid we haven't," said Bill. "Even my wife began to develop ideas I was not comfortable with, so now she worships in the northeast corner of the living room, and I'm in the southwest." This little story illustrates the importance of unity in the church. Not just the church, but the family as well. But the massive division within society that we see around us often tries to find its way into our church. Again and again, we see this. Oftentimes, I hear people criticize other Catholics for being on the left or the right, using American political terms to describe perceived positions within the church. And in doing so, it's never a simple statement of fact like, "Oh yeah, they're on the left," or "They're progressive, they're on the right, they're conservative." Instead, when people use these terms, it's always in an othering way. "Oh, those guys on the other side are bad people. Those on the left are bad, those on the right are bad. They got all this Jesus stuff backwards. They don't understand a thing about the church or him. But me, you know, I'm on the correct side of things. I know exactly what's right. But the thing is, there is neither left nor right, neither Greek nor Jew, for all are one in Christ Jesus. The kingdom of God, which is present in and through the church, if it is divided against itself, cannot stand. This is why we pray for unity at every single Mass. If you listen to the words of the prayers when the priest is at the altar, he's always praying for unity at multiple times throughout the Mass. When we do the Creed on Sundays, that is a form of an external expression of our unity as a doctrinal unity for Christians, for Catholics. When we worship here on Sunday together, that is a sign of our unity. And even the Pope himself is an external sign of unity. You see, the papacy is important for this, because it is the visible unity of the Church of Jesus Christ. Throughout all of history, it is the Bishop of Rome, the successor of St. Peter, who has always been looked to for clarity in doctrine and corporate unity. A thousand plus years ago, when the church in Alexandria and the church in another part of the world would fight and dispute over a particular doctrine, they'd always come to a point where, like, all right, we need to go ask the Bishop of Rome because he's the final arbiter. So throughout history, the papacy has been this cornerstone, this foundation for unity in the church, the visible unity in the church. And it is to Peter and his successors that our Lord has given the keys of authority to bind and loose. It is to Peter and his successors, then, that our Lord has entrusted with the unity of the church. Throughout the Gospels, one of the things we hear Christ pray quite often, his prayer, is for that they might be one as him and the Father are one. Hopefully that strikes a little chord. It's like, oh yeah, that sounds familiar. Because that's his prayer consistently in the Gospel. Because he knows unity is important. Because he knows that the devil will try and attack us there. And he does consistently. And so that really today, my brothers and sisters, should be our prayer. Is that we, as the body of Christ, the Catholic Church, the Christian Church, are one just as Christ and the Father are one. It should be our prayer that all can find their home in the church, that all divisions be laid waste, that when we proclaim that all are welcome, that we truly hold to that motto, regardless of political party, regardless of what side of the church we think they're on. And again, above all, our prayer needs to be that we are all truly one in Christ Jesus. Unity is important. It's extremely important for us. Because as soon as we start breaking off, as soon as we start othering people, eventually, we're going to get to a point like that man in that little story I was talking about where it's just him by himself. That's not Christianity. That's not Catholic. That's not truth. So my brothers and sisters, especially as we approach November, we really need to be praying and working for unity in the parish, in our families, and in the society at large. God bless you.